your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Activity sheets. As you're turning to that particular page, there are some activity sheets on the back table for the children, so they can take advantage of them. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and we take up the reading from verse 26. The Word of God, where it says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be as you have said.' Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.'" Thanks, Fred.
Two days to go and it's Christmas again, the birthday feast of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you know, every birth is preceded by a time of preparation. The mother usually knows for quite a while that someone is on his way, and that gives her time to prepare. And especially the first time, she needs to talk about it and get some advice. It was no different for Mary, the young girl who expected the birth of Jesus. But the way she had fallen pregnant was so out of the ordinary that it left her actually with no one to talk to. Who would believe her story? Her boyfriend, Joseph? Her parents? A pregnant virgin. That's a contradiction in words. That's impossible. Mary was alone with her tremendous secret. Now in our text for this morning that starts with verse 39, the visit of Mary to Elizabeth, we find another pregnant woman. That's Elizabeth. And also her pregnancy is out of the ordinary. We are told in the beginning of Luke 1 that Elizabeth fell pregnant well after her years. Verse 18 says that. Now Mary fell pregnant, we could say, before her years, for she is still a virgin. And as always, when God is making major moves, he brings two people together so that they can encourage one another. And it's the Holy Spirit, I believe, who guides these two women in such a way that they meet and that they become a source of spiritual refreshment and encouragement to one another. And therefore, our theme for the sermon is the mother of the Lord encouraged. We'll hardly be able to understand the joy of Elizabeth when she fell pregnant at her age. For a woman in Israel, it was an enormous problem to be childless. Israelite women were almost obsessed with having children. If you don't have children, what is your use as a woman? That's how they felt. Remember Hannah, married to Elkanah. He was a loving husband, and he tried to comfort her. And he said to her, Hannah, am I not more worth to you than 10 sons? It was fantastic from Elkanah to say that to his wife. But it couldn't comfort her. I might just as well be dead. That's how she felt. So we can understand the great relief of Elizabeth. In verse 25, the Lord has done this for me. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. So what he's saying there is that barren women were in disgrace in Israel. Isn't it terrible how discouraging public opinion can be? And how people can suffer under that? So we can imagine that now Elizabeth is full of it, of the Lord's favor shown to her. And she couldn't share her secret with anyone either, somehow. The Bible tells she secluded herself for 5 months, all the time that she was visibly pregnant. And in that time it wasn't much fun talking to her husband, Zechariah, either. Because he couldn't answer. Well, it's in this time that her cousin, Mary, pays her a visit. So you would think from Elizabeth's perspective, this is her opportunity. Now she can talk. Listen, Mary, what happened to me? I'm pregnant. Can you believe it? And she could have babbled on and on about her own happiness. That's what we perhaps would have expected. But surprisingly, we read nothing about that. Her reaction to the arrival of Mary is totally different. She doesn't talk with one word about herself, Elizabeth, but she says, why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me, the mother of my Lord? So Elizabeth forgets about her own situation, and with lots of enthusiasm, she greets Mary. Mary, blessed are you among women. Now that's not only Elizabeth, friends. That's the Holy Spirit who makes this woman a prophetess. And the Spirit shows to her who Mary really is. She is the mother of the Lord. And isn't that an amazing thing? It tells us, I believe, something about Elizabeth's spiritual life. Apparently, the expectation of the coming Messiah was alive in her. It was not only a theory to her that one day the Messiah will come. All Israelites had that. No, Elizabeth really looked forward to his arrival.
In contrast to her husband, Zechariah, he first didn't believe it when he got a message. Even though he was a pious man, he could not believe that in his lifetime that God would really do something. But his wife, filled with the Spirit, as it says here, knows straight away, Mary will be the mother of the one Israel is waiting for. She makes it very personal too. The mother of my Lord. And isn't that characteristic of true faith? That Elizabeth has already entrusted herself to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ, even before she has seen him. And again, it's only the Holy Spirit who could have brought her to this personal confession. And so Elizabeth, in her faith, becomes an instrument of the Holy Spirit. And she doesn't only speak the words the Spirit wants her to say. No, also in her faith, she immediately understands that the coming of the Christ is more important than her own joy about her pregnancy. So the Spirit makes her look away from herself and concentrate on the Lord's work that's going on at the moment in a very special way in Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear. And Elizabeth is talking about Jesus. What a blessing he will be. Now, I think we can learn here something, friends. We can learn in the first place this, that we should consider our whole life in the light of the coming Christ. Of course, it's a good thing and a wonderful thing to celebrate Christmas. And in our culture, it means also it's a bit of time off for everybody, as Ben was telling this morning. And it's a good thing to celebrate Christmas because the birth of Jesus is indeed a very special moment in the history of salvation. So celebrate it by all means. But let's not only commemorate it as an event of the past, because true faith is not what you believe what happened once ago. True faith is looking to the future and trust that God is going to do something. And what is he going to do is this, that the same Lord Jesus who was once born as a baby in very humble circumstances in Bethlehem will return in glory. Believe it and prepare for the day to come. And that should have a great impact on the way you live. And what do you live for? Have you come to the point already that all your desires are satisfied in Christ? See, we are designed for much higher things than only make a living on this earth. We are designed to know God and to enjoy him forever. And to serve him now. An earthly life is just preparation for that, for enjoying God forever, having all in him. And that begins now. And while we prepare for that, we serve him. And of course, every person's task is different in that situation. Some people, in the context of our text for today, receive the privilege to have children, so that there will be future generations to wait for the coming of Christ. Other people have no children, but make themselves available for other tasks in the kingdom. Now, by the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth saw all these things in the right perspective. And therefore, she doesn't talk about herself and about her experiences, not even about her faith. She focuses on the other person, and she makes Jesus the center of their talk. Blessed are you among women, mother of my Lord. Blessed are you. Actually, while she's saying that, it seems that she is praising Mary. But through that, of course, she brings praise to God. And Mary will respond to Elizabeth with a song. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, will call me privileged. See, it's a miracle of grace that the Lord opened Mary's womb. It's the beginning of salvation of God's people. Because Mary's child will be the first child to be born in this world that does not fall under the curse of sin. Of all our children, we have to confess, conceived and born in sin. But Mary's child is conceived and born in holiness. And that makes him different from all other people. And that makes him suitable to be our Savior, the Messiah, whose arrival has been promised for ages. And that's why the coming Christmas gives reason for great celebration. And we thankfully join in with Elizabeth's marvel. Why are we so favored that the Lord should come to us? That's how you should celebrate Christmas. Why are we so favored that we may know him for whom he is? Last week, Sunday afternoon, I went to a concert. It was the Messiah. And that's an exciting piece of music, and it's all gospel from the beginning to the end. It makes me sad to realize that the majority of the people who are singing in that choir have not a clue. They enjoy the musical quality of it, but they do not know the favor that God bestows on people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So why are we so favored? Well, I don't know. All I can say is, it's grace. Unmerited favor for those who deserve the opposite, who deserve to be thrown away from God's presence forever. And yet, we can come through Jesus. Mary must have been quite amazed at the welcome she received. And I thought, well, how does Elizabeth know? And what does she know? And then Elizabeth explains how she knows. She says this: as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Now, it's a well-known phenomenon that babies in the last months of pregnancy can jump around in their mother's womb. But this is more than just a natural thing. Since it's mentioned twice in our text that the baby leapt in her womb, it must be important, and I believe it is. It is a special working of the Holy Spirit. See, about John the Baptist, it was prophesied that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, right from the start, because he is the herald of the coming king. And he jumps at the first occasion that he can do this. So the Spirit in baby John recognizes the Spirit in baby Jesus. None of them is born yet. So this sudden jump makes Elizabeth aware of who Mary actually is. And she knows the girl already as her cousin Mary, but now she recognizes her as the mother of the Lord. And so, filled with the Holy Spirit, she exclaims, "Blessed are you among women." And for Mary, this is an important moment. This is an enormous encouragement, for it confirms her in her faith. And she needed that. When the angel of the Lord had come to her to announce the coming of Jesus a few weeks earlier, Mary must have been overwhelmed, and she hardly could believe their ears. But for her encouragement, she receives now a sign. At that very moment, the angel says to her, "Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a baby as well, and she is in her sixth month." So when Mary heard this, she went in faith to be confirmed in her faith. And she indeed receives that confirmation by Elizabeth's greeting. And it must have struck Mary that Elizabeth uses almost the same words as the angel. Greetings, you who are highly favored among women. That's what the angel had said. Blessed are you among women. That's what Elizabeth says. What a great encouragement for Mary and while she needs it. Elizabeth had difficulty in communicating with her husband, Zechariah. He couldn't respond to her talking. But what about Mary? To whom could she talk? Mary has believed the words of the angel. But as usual, God tests her initial faith. Mary struggles with questions. Why me? What do I know about babies? About bringing up children and then the promised Messiah in my womb? That is mind-boggling. So she needs time to digest these things, because her life is all of a sudden turned completely upside down. And can you see how Mary must have suffered carrying this tremendous secret? And isn't it wonderful to see that the Lord understands that, and that he makes a plan. He knows about Mary's battle to come to terms with these things. And then in his compassion, because he is a God of compassion, he sends her to her cousin, to a fellow believer, to an older woman who is also close with the Lord, that she can share her secret with her. Mary desperately needs a talk. But while she was traveling there, she would have worried, how do I start about this? But when she arrives, she doesn't need to say anything at all. Elizabeth knows already. What an encouragement. It's true indeed. And Elizabeth's greeting sounds almost like a second announcement. First the angel, and now Elizabeth saying the same things. And both women must have been in tears. How can you keep dry eyes when hearing about the great works of the Lord, and then to discover that the Lord has chosen you to be part of his work? That's emotional stuff indeed. Mary's response to the angel had been, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said. So with body and soul, Mary had made herself available. If you want to use me, here I am. That's what she said. And now Elizabeth confirms those words of the angel. It's all true. The word of God is reliable indeed. So Mary, don't doubt. God is with you. And so the Holy Spirit encourages Mary through the support of Elizabeth, and they encourage one another with God's promises. That's how the Lord works, friends. Also for you. When God comes with a promise to you, you first have to believe it on his word only. But then after you've believed it, and you've entrusted yourself to his word and to his promise, when you've completely surrendered yourself to it, said, yes, Lord, I do believe, then you'll be confirmed in it. Somehow, some way. Look at Mary. She had to believe it first, and then she had to take a step of faith to make the decision to travel to Judea. And only then and there she was confirmed in her initial faith. And as I said, that's how God works. So never say, I first need a proof that it's true, and then I will believe. If you take that stand, you will never see it. Because God will say, you never believed me on my word. And then you will miss out on the blessing. So God's order is different. He first comes with a promise. You have to believe this promise. And in some way, somehow, you have to take a step of faith in which you prove that you really believe him, that you really trust him as the governor of your life. And then you'll be confirmed in your faith. Listen how Elizabeth congratulates Mary, not only with her pregnancy, but most of all with her faith, because that's central here. Verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. That is the basic attitude for all those who celebrate Christmas. Blessed are those who have believed that what the Lord has said to them will be accomplished. That's what Christmas is all about. But to really rejoice in it, we must look ahead. We live with a new promise to be believed as well, the second coming of Christ. And this time, he will not make his way to us through a mother's womb, but he will come on the clouds of heaven as the Lord of glory. Do you have faith like Mary and Elizabeth? Then you are blessed. While we are waiting for the fulfillment of the last promise, we encourage each other, as God's people are supposed to do. That's what they are for. And that together we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, says the Spirit and the Bride. It's one of the last words of the Bible. It's a wonderful word. Come, Lord Jesus, come, says the Spirit and the Bride. The Bride is the church. And the Bride can only say that because the Spirit encourages her to say that and supports her to believe that. So it's the Holy Spirit who keeps faith alive in us. And therefore, it's the Spirit indeed who makes us look forward to his coming. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know now that it's an undoubtable fact of history that Jesus has come indeed. But now it requires faith from us to believe that he is whom the Bible says he is, the Lord himself in human flesh. Lord, grant each of us that faith so that we believe in him and that that will become the source of joy in our heart in these Christmas days, that we believe in it. And that we are also at peace for where we are at now, because we know he will come again in glory. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit who has sealed our faith, who lives in us as the first fruit of more to come, as a first deposit of the fullness that's to come. Lord, we pray, work in the heart of all of us, that we may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, that we may continue to encourage one another in this faith in him. Thank you for your word that we could hear this morning, Lord. Bless us through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's sing a song together. That is In Christ Alone. Let's sing that song standing.